This is Deacon Steve, host of the What is Truth Catholic podcast, a podcast that looks at the truths of the world and contrasts these with the truth that is Jesus Christ, revealed in His one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I have a question for you. Have you taken your Catholic vitamins today? I hope so, because we all need those Catholic nutrients from A to Z that only Deacon Tom and the lovely D can provide us so that we can be on fire for our faith and live the gift of our faith in the world. So I ask you, have you taken your Catholic vitamins today?
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, Dee, we're off and running. It's episode number
315.
And this show is
Catholics
Next Door. No, that's not right. What show is this? What?
Catholic Vitamins.
Catholic Vitamins. I know. I listen for that every week.
And today's vitamin is D. Catholic vitamin D.
Not you, D.
Not me, D.
Oh.
Yeah. D for disposition.
Ah, we had no one that guessed that correctly. And, well, I'll have some words on disposition, but let's just say that if you look at the Catholic culture website, that the definition of disposition is the quality or condition of a person necessary for the performance of some action. And in the Catholic faith, we might say that this is applied to the valid reception or administration of the sacraments, like you have to be in the state of grace to receive the Eucharist. You have to have sincere contrition, as best we're able, to receive absolution in the sacrament of penance. But, you know, Dee, Saturday mornings, I really, really love our normal routine. That is that we get up, we have our coffee, which we haven't had on Friday, which makes me grouchy, but
Saturday morning, it makes you very happy.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I get up on Saturday morning and we have coffee and prayer, my prayer, morning prayer, a little bit of TV, and then we go to Mass. And what do we do afterwards? We go to the airport.
Crosswinds restaurant.
Yep,
the airport restaurant.
We've actually taken some friends and people from the Valley and e-friends that we've met. We've taken them there. It's a pretty ordinary place, but it's a part of our regular routine, and it sets my Saturday disposition in good shape. But this morning, this morning you said to me, you are coming to...
well, don't do it that way.
Okay, you said you are coming to...
I didn't say you are coming. I said, are you coming?
Oh, is that the way it was? So the ladies of the church had a blessing of a Mary statue, followed by a rosary up at our beautiful little shrine that we have behind the church. And they do have a lovely covered shrine, an enclosed shrine, that some earlier parishioners built. And it's just wonderful, lovely, tender. And after that, there was a breakfast. I just want to say, to complete my thought, just one sec, that you have to have the proper disposition to be a member of the parish community as well, right?
True.
And so I said, yes, dear, I'm coming with you. But it was actually very enjoyable. I even enjoyed doing the rosary there with you and the other ladies.
Yeah, just a little bit of background. The first Saturday of every month is our corporate Mass for our Mystical Rose Sodality ladies group. And being as this is the month of Mary, May, this is the first Saturday in May. That's why we did all this special stuff this morning. Mm-hmm. And we had just recently purchased a new Mary statue for outside the church.
The Sodality did that.
So we had Father do the official blessing of it this morning.
So I'm, you know, because I was trying to tell you, I couldn't think of the word for this, but up in the shrine, there is a wall, and it's not a plaque, it's not a picture, but it is a, what would you call it?
Would you call it a fresco? I'm not sure what it is. It's a carved.
Carved, that's one of the words, yes. A carved image.
I don't even want to say plaque because it's huge. It's a huge stone inset into the wall.
And it's the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary appearing to the three children at Fatima. And I've just recently reread the story of Fatima, a so-called authorized telling of the events and the appearances of the Blessed Mother in Fatima. And I was made tender again. It was beautiful to see that. And I enjoyed praying before that image this morning.
I took a lot of pictures this morning, so maybe I'll try to remember to put a few pictures from the blessing and the pictures from Open the Shrine on the on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
Please do that.
Share them with our listeners.
It's a form of extending prattle to to share with our listeners. So that is our Saturday morning, and I went on with some Catholic radio work while you did some other office work. Do we have anything else for the first segment of our show? She's looking frantically, Bradley.
I'm looking. No, I guess we can take a break here.
All right. Well, relatively short prattle, but we'll be back.
I put all my hope on the truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the ground of your goodness. When I'm bowed down with sorrow, I will lift up your name. And the foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you
as we were getting our little notes together and our thoughts together, I said, did we say anything about our guest?
We didn't.
She is a lovely lady from Down Under, and how all this got started will unfold in the interview time. Our guest is Tiana, T-I-A-N-A, Sakar, S-A-K-R. She's from Sydney, Australia, and I'm just so pleased to be able to share a lady who has the right disposition about respect for life, all of life from conception to natural death. And that will unfold in our interview, which is coming up in our next segment after prattle number two. So we had some feedback from Carrie Santos, a previous guest and an author. She said, it's hard to believe that it's already been a month since Ave Maria Press released our Catholic marriage advice book, The Four Keys to Everlasting Love. Great things have been happening, and we're truly grateful. Here's a rundown of what's happened so far. It hit number 2 in its category on Kindle and number 4 in paperback during launch week. It got a 5-star rating on Amazon. It was the main attraction in 6 radio shows and or podcasts. Hey, that would include Catholic Vitamins, because she was a guest. I think we were the first, if I remember correctly, including Sirius XM satellite radio on the Busted Halo show. And she was also on Relevant Radio, the Morning Air show. It's been featured in 10 book reviews or author reviews, including Our Sunday Visitor. How about that, huh? 70-plus attendees at Ave Maria Press Professional Development Webinar. And it was 100% sold out at first launch party for Your Catholic Mothers Club.
Wow.
A lot happening.
Congratulations to Dr. Manny and Carrie Santos.
Amen. Thank you for being guests on Catholic Vitamins. And Carrie, you know that we've enjoyed having you as a guest. And well, if anybody has any marriage issues or any marriage questions or struggles, you might turn to them, because in addition to their Can We Cana website, they also do marriage consulting. And the husband is a PhD doctor. All right, dear.
Hey, this is the weekend.
Oh.
We're giving away the book that we've been promoting for the last 3 weeks.
All right.
It's Abby Johnson's new book, The Walls Are Talking, Former Abortion Clinic Workers Tell Their Stories. And we pulled a name.
He is?
Dan Schlattman.
Dan Schlattman. And he's in what, Baltimore, isn't he?
He's in Baltimore, yes.
We give thanks for him. Now, I have my copy of the book that I read. I was going to give it to our Catholic library here at the parish. But I'm thinking,
I know, and I kind of wanted it in there, too.
Oh, you did?
But also, yeah, well, I don't know. Should we give it away or should we keep it for the library?
Well, we had another name that we saw come across, that somebody that has done an awful lot for us over the years. Maybe we should honor his.
Maybe we should.
All right. Okay. My personal copy of The Walls Are Talking will go to Deacon Don Schaefer in Denver. And maybe Betty, his dear wife, will read it for him. Read it to him. All right. Well, I think maybe we'll have to do a marriage segment and make amends. Do we have anything else that we need to include in this section?
No, I think we should get to our interview.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to sharing our dear guest with all of you. And this is the first time we've reached into this part of the world for an interview. We've been to Ireland several times and maybe elsewhere. But here we are going to Australia.
Wait, did you go to New Zealand once?
Did I really? I can't remember. Maybe. You're right. Could be. All right. Well, after a short musical bump, we'll be up with our special guest.
Our way is our God.
Catholic Vitamins, we go down under, way down under, and we're reaching long distance all the way to Australia. Our special guest, our long distance guest, is Tiana Socker. She's in Sydney, Australia, or nearabouts, and we're going to get into the subject of pro-life and the work that she's doing and the organization that she's involved in. But Tiana, let me start by just saying hello from Arizona and welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Hello, Deacon Tom, and thank you so much for your welcome. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, we are joyous to be able to find you, and I did share with you as we were doing some setup emails how this got started. I saw your name, I saw your picture, lovely lady, I saw your picture, and I saw the word wombs, W-O-M-E-S, yes. And I thought, wow, what's this all about? And that led us to come in contact, and we're going to get into all of that. First off, just because we're not used to too many contacts outside of the United States, it's spring, warming up in Arizona, and we're getting ready for our warm season, our hot season. What's it like in your area in Australia?
Well, we've just entered winter, but believe it or not, it's a beautiful day. I had to put on a light jacket, but apart from that, we've still got beautiful sunny Sydney at the moment. So yes, it's our seasons, I've noticed, seem to be getting warmer for some reason. Not that anyone's complaining. So it is getting cooler, but gradually.
So in the winter, which I guess is our summertime, what would your weather be like?
We need coats and a scarf, but it doesn't get anywhere near as cold as you would experience, I imagine. When you head out to the country a bit further or up in the hills, it can get below freezing. But in Sydney, we have rather mild winters, I would say.
Okay, good. Well, it is just a joy. And I've already teased you about hearing birds in the background.
Yes, I can hear them.
I can, yeah. Well, so I don't know if your last name has changed, but we'll just ask about your first name. Who was Tiana when she was young?
Well, my maiden name actually was Tiana Legg, and I am the child of Patricia and Garth. And my dad was raised a Protestant from an English family, and my mother, she had Irish and Scottish and a bit of English on her side, but raised as a devout Catholic. But my dad converted to Catholicism just before he married my mother. So I was raised in a practicing Catholic family.
Good to hear. Yes. Yeah. And I'm glad to hear about the Irish connection, because we have it here in our family and we're pretty proud of it. And I did mention to you, I think, before we started our time together, that we had an Irish correspondent for maybe 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, it is nice to have that connection. And they tend to be very strong Catholics. Yes.
For sure. But, what were your young years like, your growing up years?
My early years? I think because my dad was a convert to the faith and he faced a lot of opposition from his own parents to when he wanted to convert. We were raised in an environment where we spoke about our faith a lot. I talked about issues in the faith a lot with him. And we were a practicing family. We went to Mass every weekend. We prayed together as a family. I'd say we're a devout family. We used to pray the rosary regularly together until my mid-teens. So I had a very good grounding in the faith when I was young.
Wonderful. All right. And then how were your teen years? A lot of our teens, when they become maybe confirmed or something like that, they tend to stop practicing. How were your teen years like?
Yes. Well, I would say I had a very unusual teenage situation. When I was about 12, my father made an unusual decision to move our family to the Northern Territory, which is a remote state of Australia north. He did that because he'd been offered work in an Aboriginal community. So from when I was about 12 to when I was about 15, we lived there. and I was very isolated from other teenagers. I did correspondence, so I was homeschooled, and I just basically had the company of my siblings, which were all, who were all younger than me, my four siblings. So I used to, I think that it helped to strengthen my faith because we had a lot of Catholic books around. I used to read a lot, and I would read about the saints, and I remember listening to a lot of religious music. I was probably listening and reading a lot of different material to other teenagers my age. My faith strengthened as a teen, I would say. I came back after that time away and returned to school in New South Wales, and I felt very odd. I felt quite out of place amongst my peers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a good experience. It was
wonderful, wonderful. What did you say your dad was doing?
He actually went to illustrate the Bible for the Aboriginals. That was his job description. But he didn't actually do much of that type of work. When he got there, he used to help the parish priest a lot in the parish, and he was quite a handyman. But that was the initial intention, was to illustrate the Bible for the Aboriginals because they couldn't read. And we're trying to translate the Bible into their language, but there's so many different dialects. So that's where the illustrations became important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his initial position, but then he moved to another community where he did do a lot more work in illustrations and publications, because my father's an artist, so that's his background.
Okay.
Yes.
So you came back to I'll use the word civilization.
Yes.
and you became a young adult. Take us into those years. What were you doing then?
When I was 18, so I continued my studies, finished my high school through the public system. Well, actually, I was in a Catholic school at that time. And in my later teenage years, I did actually go to a public school. And after that, I went to university. I left home at the age of 18 to attend university in Lismore. Because it was about an 8-hour drive away from where my parents lived. So I lived on campus, and I completed a business degree there with a double major in accounting and computing.
Oh, my. Oh, my. We could use you we could use you helping us with Catholic vitamins and our website and all that.
Anytime.
So was the college any sort of, I'll use the word threat or endangerment to your earlier years of Catholic formation?
Well, as I mentioned, I lived on campus, so it was shared accommodation with other students. And possibly that could have been an environment that was a threat to, or a challenge at least, to certain beliefs I held. But I felt strongly about where I stood on certain moral issues, and if I felt challenged, I was not afraid to sort of just to hold my own and not be swayed, really. Yeah, okay. It was an eye-opening sort of experience.
All right. got it.
But, I felt very secure in my faith, and I was proud to be a Catholic. So
good to hear all that, and I'm glad I spend so much time on the background because it helps people to understand the journey that you've been through or been on to come to where you are now. We're almost there.
But, yes.
You graduated from college, and did you work in the outside world for a while? I mean, I know we're headed towards pro-life, but
yes.
What did you do?
Well, I actually got my first job as a result of an on-campus interview. So the Audit Office of New South Wales particularly like the double major in accounting and computing for their information systems audit department. So they would travel to do interviews at our university because it was one of the few universities that was offering that. And I was successful in getting a position there. So I worked for the audit office for about 4 years as an information systems auditor, and then continued some studies for another year after that until I was married in 1999. And after I was married, I had my first child, 9 months later, and became a full-time stay-at-home mother. I had 4 more children over the next 8 years, and yeah, both my husband and I agreed that I would stay at home, and I was happy to do that. my youngest are twins. They started school just over 2 years ago, so that's when I really started working full time on our organisation and what had evolved since then. But previously, just part time work.
Okay, I will just invite people to picture a lovely family. I've done a little bit of research to try to get ready and to make sure that Tiana would be a good guest to bring to our listeners on Catholic Vitamins, and they have a lovely family. Last question about family. What's your husband do?
My husband is a property developer. He has a business with his family, and that's been very successful. So, yes, we've been fortunate in that.
Amen.
And, yeah, it allows him flexibility with his time and work hours, and that's been really a blessing, yes.
Well, thank him for sharing you for a while with Catholic Vitamins. And so I said that I discovered close by your name, wherever I saw your picture, I saw the word wombs, W-O-M-B-S. Yes. So let's tell our listeners what that is and what it's about.
Okay. So WOMBS stands for Women and Baby Support. And our full name is Women and Baby Support International. And we started the organization actually under a different name. And I'd have to go back a bit further to explain to you how it all began. Would you like me to start at the beginning?
Sure, please.
Okay. So it all started to evolve when my twins were just babies. And you can imagine that was a very intense time for me looking after them both. And I was mostly housebound. I didn't go out much because it was difficult. But I did miss the social interaction, and especially seeing and talking to other adults. I was using the internet a lot to do my shopping, and one day I discovered Twitter. So I joined up and really enjoyed being on there and connecting with people and talking about similar interests. And it was great that I could just have a conversation with somebody without getting out of my pajamas and even when I was breastfeeding if I had to. So I was, yeah, really enjoyed it. I used to get on there regularly. But after a while I realised I was mainly tweeting and debating on pro-life issues on my personal account. And I think, yeah, I'd always just felt really strongly about the issue of abortion and ever since I was a teenager, but I hadn't felt of any means to do anything about it. And Twitter offered a way to at least speak about it with others and, advocate for unborn children. Mm. So I decided to change my name to the account name to Aussie Pro-Life and debate more on human life and abortion. But I wasn't at that early stage confidence about debating the science, so I did a lot of research and became confident as to the facts of human life from conception and became better and better at it. I had a lot of good debates on there, and the account did really well. But what I noticed when I was looking for information on the internet on human life and abortion, I noticed there were very few sites that just offered factual information that was complete, but that didn't have an obvious political bias. A lot of the content was mixed up with emotional content or confronting material or religious content. And I also noticed on Twitter that people tweeting for pro-choice would quickly dismiss any information I directed them to if it came from one of these sites, which they would refer to as pro-life sites or, you know, sites with an agenda.
Sure.
And I thought this was a real shame, that, you know, that people obviously couldn't just find really just good factual information there on the internet. And I remember reading at that early stage someone saying there were millions of searches done on abortion on the internet every year. And I just saw a real need for much better non-politically motivated information on abortion and education on human life in general. And the other thing that really struck me about Twitter and when I first went on there is how many pro-lifers were on there, like me, trying to inform people, trying to oppose abortion. And I thought how we could be more effective and have a louder voice if we were part of a group. So this is how our group started. I was motivated by the desire to work with other pro-lifers and also just to help share the facts on abortion and human life on the internet in particular. So with these objectives and with the support of my husband, his cousins, who's a good friend of mine, we founded a not-for-profit company in May 2013 called Abortion Group Limited. And we decided on that name due to its ambiguity and also because of our focus on sharing information on abortion on the internet. And the focus, our initial focus of the organisation was education and also support of people in crisis pregnancy. So in sharing information on abortion, we were aware that, you know, we would be reaching abortion-minded women or people in crisis pregnancy, and that once given the information, they still needed the support to get them through their difficult times. So we wanted to, we believe that that information should go hand in hand. So we created and launched a website called abortiongroup.com, which if you take a look at it, the focus is on providing good factual information based on scientific evidence on human life and development and abortion. We don't have any sensitive material on there apart from patients where we give people plenty of warning if they're before that those come into view, and just the whole site is obviously discussing abortion and related issues, risks and medical information as well. And we also have a directory on there to help people in crisis pregnancy to find local support in the area. And that directory mainly has Australian support services on there, but we also have started on the US, but it's huge, so only some states are covered in areas. But, yes, we were happy with how that site went. Last year it averaged about 100,000 unique visitors and had over a quarter of a million visits. So that site did really well, but what we found was that the name of our group was rather confronting to a lot of people due to the ambiguity of the name. And so it wasn't really appealing on a personal level. So our company, we decided to change the name. And after considering various possibilities, we voted to change it to Women and Baby Support, just to reflect to our purpose to advocate for the human rights of women as well as their unborn children, and to keep women, of course, at the forefront in the debate as well. Yes, we've found that change to be very positive and appealing.
All right, okay. So the organization is WOMBS, W-O-M-B-S. And,
yes.
And the web address, is it a .com after?
We have a new website in progress, which hasn't actually been completed yet, but it will be shortly. And that will be at WOMBS, www.womBS.org. Our abortion group site is still up and we maintain that site still. The WOMBS site will be different again. It will reflect more our organisational activities and the human rights issue when it comes to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if abortion group is more focused on abortion itself and all the related issues and education that goes with that. So
we've been talking with Tiana Sacher all the way to Sydney, Australia area, and we've followed her journey. Maybe we could spend a couple minutes talking about what the state of the abortion industry is in Australia. And
yes.
What I mean by that is it widely accepted? Is there any government support for it? How are people reacting to the topic of abortion in Australia?
Okay. So in Australia, abortion laws are at the state level. Yes, we don't have any, you know, constitutional law that affects abortion as you do. Our states, the law of the state is what stands, although common law has influenced the legality of abortion over the years. And it varies quite a lot. We have some of the most radical abortion laws in the Western world. A few of our states allow abortion up until the moment of birth. That's Victoria and Tasmania. There are certain requirements. I think in Tasmania, after 14 weeks, you have to get two doctors to sign off on the abortion, but still there's no restriction. And Victoria is the other state where abortion basically on demand is available if you get a sign off from two doctors until the moment of birth. We have a few states which still have restrictions on abortion, and abortion is in the criminal codes, but a lot of abortion advocates are working behind the scenes to try and get that, they call it the decriminalisation of abortion, through. But even so, abortion is widely available. So in every state, it's permissible on the grounds of a necessity for the woman's health. Like I said, in some states it's harder to avail than others, but it's in practice it's widely available.
Mm-hmm.
Even in New South Wales, where it's still in the criminal code, I mean, you know, if you have a doctor that'll sign off for you, you can get an abortion. So I did compare some data between Australia and the US. Our abortion rate is around 19.8 per 1,000 women. That was in 2013, and the latest data for the US in 2012 was that the abortion rate is 13.2 per 1,000 women. So our rate is higher than in the US. And per live birth, our abortion ratio is 250 per 1,000 live births, in comparison to the US, where the abortion ratio is 210 per 1,000 live births. So women in Australia are having more abortions than in America. And yes, it's we're looking at around 20% of pregnancies end abortion in Australia. We have a high abortion rate.
God have mercy. God have mercy.
Yes.
Thank you. Where does funding come from for abortion?
It is covered largely through our universal healthcare system called Medicare. It is taxpayer funded, largely taxpayer funded. I think that some situations, that later term abortions won't be covered, but the majority of abortions, if they go through the public health system, are covered by Medicare.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting to compare what the alternatives to abortion are and the rates as well. This is something that we're focused on, whether, you know, do women really have a choice? And as you would know, the only choice to abortion is to continue in the crisis pregnancy and either parent, adopt your child out, or look at foster care. And if we compare or just look at the figures for adoption in Australia, on average we only have 2 local babies adopted per state per year in Australia. So we have approximately 22 local adoptions in the entire country of babies.
Right.
So this is something we're trying to raise awareness of. I deal regularly with pregnancy centres in our area, and, you know, they tell me how if they'll be talking to a woman in crisis and counselling her and they raise the issue of adoption, usually they're just like, are you joking? Like, you can't be serious. Like, it's so not an option. So it's laughable. It's something that is not supported. It's not government supported. We've got a really bad history when it comes to adoption in Australia, so we have political problems there when it comes to supporting adoption. But there's no funding to support it, or we don't even have, like, a adoption agency. There's no orphanages or anything. There's so few babies that it's virtually not happening. So rare. Yeah. So it's really, that's an option that should be available to women, particularly if you can imagine teenage mums or unsupported women who just can't possibly imagine raising their own child, where it should be an option for them, and it is simply not an option because of the lack of support. So the foster care system, our foster care system has a lot of problems. There's a lot of awareness of the problems in our foster care system. We've got approximately 20,000 children in there, and approximately 22,000 babies are added to that system every year. It's overloaded, and there's a lot of well-known problems there with the children being passed from family to family and being damaged as a result of our system. I've heard one manager of a pregnancy centre tell me that of a woman who said to her she would just never consider putting her child into foster care. She would rather abort. So, yes, that's another issue in Australia that's a concern.
Well, there's so much that you have shared with us, and one of my hopes expressed to you is that this will introduce your organization and your work in the United States, although we're certainly heard elsewhere, but that you will continue to make progress connecting with organizations and people and influentials in the United States, and that you will continue your blessed work in Australia.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have any you have any closing thoughts about wombs or the work you're involved in?
Just to reiterate what you mentioned, that the work of American Pro-Lifers is so valuable to us. We get a lot of moral support and encouragement from it. It's a very hostile environment for pro-lifers in Australia. When people question abortion, it's not taken well. And we hope to continue our relationships and just to keep in contact. The moral support is invaluable. We are very appreciative of all your work.
Well, blessings upon the Wombs organization and as the CEO of it. May God anoint your heart and your mind to keep at it. And if the cold weather or the pro-life need has you coming to the States, I hope you'll come to Arizona and visit.
I certainly will. I had the pleasure of attending the APLOG conference last year, which is the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and that was held in Washington. And we went to New York just prior to that. It was in February. It was, I think, one of your coldest winters on record.
Yes.
But despite that, we just absolutely loved our time, and I can't wait to visit other areas of the States. And, yes, any opportunity, I would definitely love to visit you there in Arizona.
Lord be with you. We'll keep you in our prayers, Deanna.
Thank you very much, Deacon Tom.
Those who have listened to Catholic Vitamins for any period of time may notice that we've almost always used this theme music coming out of our main guest interviews. Coincidentally and appropriately, this piece, which is in the background right now, is called Newborn. And it couldn't be any more fitting a piece to play after spending 30 minutes or so with our lovely guest, Tiana Socker from Sydney, Australia. And as you no doubt remember, our faith vitamin for this show is disposition. We hope, we pray that you have a pro-life disposition. It was a wonderful Irish priest that we first encountered in Florida. You've heard us talking about him many times, who used to preach about pro-life issues at least once a month. It drove some people, lots of people, to complain, many even writing to the bishop. But you couldn't stop this priest. He had the disposition to life, the disposition to support the right to life of the infant in the womb, and the disposition to support the natural aging process in seniors. Do you have the disposition to listen to popes and bishops and educators who teach about topics such as theology of the body and, for example, the encyclical Humanae Vitae? As a deacon, I've seen a phenomenon of life support in adults when their first child is born. All of a sudden, the beauty of life, the power of participating with our God in the very act of creation brings powerful emotions to the surface. And those who previously might have thought that a woman ought to have the right to choose after the birth of a child in their family, They often realize how God has entrusted us with one of the most powerful of power-sharing capabilities with Him. And prayerfully, we are called to have a disposition to cherish this gift. We will be back.
You are so small, nestled snug and warm. I'm gonna shower you with kisses on the day you're born. Will you have your daddy's eyes, and will you have my smile? I'm counting the days till I hold you. My little one,
my little one,
you're beautiful. I treasure you, my child. You are loved by God,
you are loved by God,
so full of life. You are my precious unborn child.
That music that you're just hearing now is from Margot B. Smith, one of our guests a couple times on Catholic Vitamins, from her album Sending Up a Prayer, a little pro-life song that she wrote, and we have her permission to play her music on Catholic Vitamins.
And our friend Joe over in Italy is now enjoying her music.
Absolutely, absolutely. We also played Audrey Assad's music. You know, listeners to Catholic Vitamins know how much we love Audrey Assad. And the song that she played, that she sung, had the words, "The foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy. A proper disposition, our disposition formed by keeping our eyes on the heavens." And I also did a little bit of Bob Rice's music from his 2008 album, You Came to Me Live, recorded live at Franciscan University. And I'm so excited to say that, God willing, in June, I will be at Franciscan University and probably listening to the music of Bob Rice and his musicians.
I have a few of his praise and worship from Franciscan University on my playlist.
Good, good, good. Does it lift you up?
Yes, it does.
He is great. Absolutely great.
I like to sort of sing along with it.
Well, we will do a wrap-up here in just a few moments, but you may remember that we are now doing a little Married for Life segment on Catholic Vitamins, and Miss D has the guide in her hand, and I think she's ready to share a little bit of Married for Life.
The one I picked out of our book today is, "Don't expect everything in your marriage to be perfect."
Well, no. Hello.
And this sort of starts off with, "Once upon a time, they lived happily ever after."
That lasted for what, a month?
There it is, the world's shortest fairy tale.
Oh, my.
A bit lacking in detail, but it kind of captures the essence of all fairy tales, doesn't it?
Sure does.
You and your spouse have to live out your ever after in the real world, where things don't always go so smoothly. So for the sake of your marriages, or our marriages, it's time to say goodbye to Never Never Land.
Oh, Dee, you and I know you got a little more to do there. You and I did marriage prep work back in Colorado with some couples who were getting ready to get married. And one of the things that we tried to do using the focus profile tests that they took, or our own meetings with them, we would have dinner with them, was to tell them, you know, "We know you're in love. We know that everything is wonderful, but hello. Hello.
Let us tell you about some of the things you are going to face and you are going to run into."
Yeah. here's my summary, Dee. I've been thinking about this a lot. We have, after lots of years of marriage, we have places where we didn't have places. We have spaces where we didn't have spaces. We have sounds that we... All right, that's enough. All right.
Oh, not too much TMI here.
Okay, all right, go. Anything more to share?
Well, this says, "So for the sake of our marriages," I said it already, "it's time to say goodbye to Never Never Land. It's time to embrace life as it really is and grapple with its challenges. It's time to see our spouses as they really are and not complain when the glass slipper falls off."
Oh, my. Oh.
So it's like, be prepared.
I know, but, you know, as much as we can say this, you need to prayerfully enter into marriage and make sure it's a sacramental marriage. Make Jesus a third party. I tell you what, I think, you know, a lot of times that it's just prayer that pulls us back together after we've struggled with some things. Certainly.
You know, as part of this particular meditation in the book, the couple that was featured was married in 1924.
Oh, my heavens. Oh,
a couple in Indiana. And it said, even in their 90s, or when he was still 90s, they still drove to church together every week.
Good for them. Good for them. All right, I think we're about ready to wrap up. I particularly want to thank Tiana Socker for being willing to do this. She had never heard of this guy, Deacon Tom. She had never heard of Catholic Vitamins, and she was a joy to work with. And we'll post some information about the hostile environment in Australia when we do the face page for the show. But we thank her for sharing with us what work they're accomplishing in the Wombs organization and at abortiongroup.com.
I wanted to say hi to Marianna and hope she'll be back with us soon. We missed her this time. Also, Vita Scrabble for next time.
Yes.
Catholic vitamin E.
Okay.
Ends in N. Seven letters.
So that is vitamin E, ends in N.
Right.
How many letters?
Seven letters.
And take a guess by sending it in to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And you know, people have been known to receive, flowers, Dairy Queen gift cards. Just all sorts of things happen if you guess correctly. What could happen in your case is probably nothing, but...
Yeah, you might be surprised.
Yes, you could be, very much so.
Well, I think we've wrapped up. I don't think I have anything else here, except that I do want to say that since this is Mother's Day weekend, I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day, even though they won't hear it until late, but just know that all you listeners who are mothers, I'm wishing you Happy Mother's Day.
And from Deacon Tom as well, we will remember you in our prayers together tonight, Dee and I will, we promise.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.